On this episode of Life Below Zero, Mother Nature goes in for the kill.
There's a thousand ways to die out here in your own special way.
Chip searches the tundra for his missing family.
People get lost, just disappear.
Andy's dog team is put to the test.
Looks like the ice is caving in.
Glenn braces for danger on the horizon.
And the bears are just about to come out of hibernation now.
And Sue braves thin ice for water.
But holding off cost me my life this time. Weather's changing. I gotta get my butt doing my chores. Normally this time of year, I'm shoveling snow, putting it in a bucket in here so it can melt out so I can do my laundry, my cooking, whatever. But the shoveling and twisting is gonna tear my spine apart again. So today I'm gonna grab the Argo and I'm gonna go upriver. I usually have an open lead up that way where the spring is. If I can get up there and fill even a few jugs, that's liquid water, immediate liquid water with less damage to my body. With this storm coming in, though, I want to get going and get back. The one thing you must do is capitalize on each just scrap of good weather you get. Are you ready, Ehrman? And we're off.
With the river nearly frozen solid in many places, finding liquid water is no easy task.
I know some of the spots on my river. I know where some of the really deep holes are. I'm looking for that green color, which tells me there's liquid water closer to the surface, but I don't know until I get there. I'll never know how deep the hole is until you're on top of it. There's no way to tell. I mean, you might sink, and that'd be a big fat bummer. This is kind of crazy. The rivers will never freeze all the way to the bottom. There's always some water trickling. What does that do? It puts pressure on the ice sheet. It causes a pressure ridge. This is like a pressure mountain. I mean, that's an unreal amount of water under there. When the pressure gets to be too much, it overflows. Not interested in breaking that pressure ridge up. Yeah, it looks like my weather's coming in too, so I'm gonna keep looking for a little bit, hopefully find it. If I can't find an open source upstream, I'll head downstream.
I really need to get some water.
In the Arctic, you have to have shelter to survive because a human is just not adapted to the environment. If I went to bed in the snow out there, I'd probably freeze to death. This is where I live. This is my shelter, and I depend on it for my survival. This is all bear damage, and the bears are just about to come out of hibernation now, and they'll start coming down here.
If a bear came in here and pushed the wood stove over when I was gone, you know, it could catch the place on fire. It's important to have a plan if you have to abandon ship. You need a lifeboat.
Living hundreds of miles from civilization, Glenn has nobody to call on for help if his cabin is destroyed by bears.
This is a sod house. It's made from a frame of spruce poles covered in sod. Today I'm gonna fix it up in case I have to use it in an emergency. These barrels here are where I store things I need to survive if I had to come in here and use it as an emergency shelter. In here I got a sleeping bag, I got some food, a way to start a fire. All the basics I need to survive. But if I had to come in here right now and spend the night, it'd be pretty miserable. This is my wood stove, pretty well buried in the snowdrift here. So I have to get all this snow out of here so I can start working on the floor. I got most of the snow out. Got the stove all cleaned off. I want to cover the whole floor with a nice spruce bough carpet. It'll be warmer to sleep on if I had to. I'm looking for not just any spruce bough. So here's a nice little spruce branch. because it's you know, two-dimensional, flat, and it's kind of spread out wide, so it'll cover a good area. A spruce branch is different on the top than it is on the bottom. When I put them down on the floor, I want the bottom side of the branch face up. It's much softer and more comfortable. I want a nice, smooth carpet. I just find it a lot more enjoyable to go out here in the forest because I like nature and I like being connected to it every day. There's a lot about self-sufficiency too, and independence, just being able to get what you need right from nature. I just enjoy this better than shopping at the carpet store.
This is not the Henry Thoreau on Walden Pond lifestyle that people think it is.
It's nothing but work, 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 work. And if you don't know how to plan and have good logistics, you won't make it up here.
Living out here the way we live, we've chosen to go with dogs for our transportation, our work. So they're a big part of our world out here. For me, lead dogs are critical to the process. Iceberg is my main leader. He's kind of what I'm hoping I can model these other dogs after. He's 8 years old right now, so I figure I probably have at least two more really good solid years with him.
You're a good boy. You want to go for a run again? Huh?
They all have their own personality, and they'll do things their own way. But we just need to have faith in them to do what they're told and take us where we need to go.
Everything that I do out here revolves around dogs and dog mushing. We have to constantly train new lead dogs, identify young dogs that might have potential, so that when the old guys need to be retired, you have dogs that are already ready to step into that position rather than having to start from scratch. I want to run Jack and Iceberg together for a little bit, and we'll just see what they do together. And then if Jack looks like he's kind of wanting to do it, I'm going to take Iceberg out and put Jack up ahead by himself.
Well, we got to remember, he's only like 18 months old.
Yeah, no, he's all right.
He's still a baby.
Jack's showing a lot of maturity for a dog his age. He's showing a tremendous amount of promise right now. So I'm pretty excited about working with him. Today, I'm going to be testing his confidence level to take commands, either G or haw, right or left, or whoa. The only way I'm really going to get Jack going is he's going to have to run next to an experienced dog like Iceberg. These dogs learn from each other much better than I can teach them. Okay, Iceberg, straight ahead. Little haw, little haw, little haw, little haw.
Jack is only 18 months old, so we don't have a lot of faith in Jack getting it right.
Keep, 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 keep.
Makes everything sweeter when you can just go out and be reliant on yourself. When you go out there and you come back time after time, and after a pile of years goes by, you're still here, figure, yeah, I did things right.
Chip's going out hunting this morning, and he's our boy's gonna be coming up from Zoic, and he's going to be joining his dad on the hunt. We're running low on caribou, so it's time for these guys to go out and go do a hunt.
Chip and Agnes's son John is traveling 45 miles across the frozen tundra to join the hunt.
My son will bring a rifle. He'll do the shooting, leaving a trail of destruction. I'll be following his trail and skinning and gutting behind him. And working with him is just simply me and him working together, just like two good hunters ought to. And it's a good team effort.
John should be in here in the next little bit. I wonder where you plan on going.
They say these hills all the way up to Lung Mountain are the place to be. There's already people there. I guess these guys have been getting real fat ones down there, so that's all good news to me.
You're just going to take the main trail, what we usually take?
Yep.
Okay. I know where you'll be. Well, time is ticking and the boy's not here yet. They should be here pulling up. Just keep getting ready. He'll show up.
With 50-mile-an-hour winds and temperatures hitting 40 below zero, traveling in the Arctic can be life-threatening. Between the villages lies nothing but desolate tundra, where cell phones and radios are useless.
I think John's about 3 hours overdue.
He should have been here already. I think he was having issues with his engine yesterday, so
hope he doesn't have engine issues today. It's just so cold out there today. The thing is that the wind is supposed to pick up tonight, and that's what worries me. So I'd like to get out to where we're going to hunt caribou and get that as much as we can.
I just got out. John took him take off 6 o'clock this morning, and he got Avery with him.
So if she's with him, we better step this one up a notch or two.
Avery is John's oldest daughter. She turned 4 years old yesterday. This definitely changes things a little bit. I'd really worry if they've crashed. And if they've crashed, well, that's a whole different deal.
John take off 6 o'clock this morning, and he got Avery with him.
So if she's with him, we better step this one up a notch or two.
Well, my son is bringing his daughter with him for, like, her birthday present. One of her things is to come here and see her grandma and grandpa, or Tata and Anna, as we are, actually. But I'd really worry if they've crashed. And I'm going to go around town and see if he didn't stop at Elwood's or somewhere. And if he's not here by the time I've looked around town for him, then I'll ride down that trail. I don't know why he would go somewhere else, though. He should just drive right straight here. No panic yet. I'm going to go around town. I'll see you in a bit. Then
maybe he stopped somewhere and for some unknown reason didn't say anything. That wouldn't be him at all, but better to double check.
It worries me a lot, you know? If something happens to them while they're out there and I just don't know what's going on out there, but I try not to worry too much. We don't like to go that route.
There's no place for panic over something you have no knowledge of. We don't know what's going on out there. So we gotta go see.
What's up, Joe?
Working on this snow machine.
You haven't seen John, have you?
No.
Yeah, John took off at 6 this morning. He's supposed to be here by 8 or 9, all right? If he's not here by noon, I'm gonna go take off, but I'm just looking around town for him. He's somewhere between here and there if he's not around here, because he's not in Selwick. Anyway, if he stops here, just let him know that we're starting to wonder. All right. Tell him to call the hell home or just go straight there. I'd be happy. Yeah. All right, bro, I'll catch you later.
Yeah.
Well, I went to where John would stop around town, and I don't see a snow go anywhere. After 4 hours of being overdue, if he's not at the house right now, then it's pretty close to time for me to go down the trail and just have a look for him.
When you're working with dogs, you only get out of them what you put into them. If you don't put the time and energy into training them, you're not going to get a lot out of that dog.
Andy needs new lead dogs if he's to maintain an effective dog team. 18-month-old Jack is training alongside veteran Iceberg.
Straight ahead. I'm by. Jack did pretty good with Iceberg. This is only the second time he's run up front, but he was kind of trying to follow the different tracks that he had already done, so that's a good sign. So I think what I'm going to do is just put him on one of these tracks, and we'll see what he does by himself. Jack, go home.
This is just the beginning, training to get them used to the words of left and right. So left is ha, G is right.
Oh, oh, yeah, good boy, that was good. Go G, 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 G. Oh, you're doing it, G, G, G. Good boy, G, G. We raised him as a sole puppy, so he's really tuned into me. And I found over the years that's one of the better things you can do to really get a good lead dog. G, G, Jack or G. Jack, go G. Everybody stay. Everybody stay. Jack, G. G. That's G. Good boy. Good boy. Okay, Jack, go ha. 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 Iceberg and Topaz are doing it for him. Good boy, Jack. The fact that Jack was running out front by himself and keeping the line tight with motivation was a really, really good sign. He really doesn't know his G-Haw commands. The two leaders behind him were kind of steering him. But what was really good is he was picking up on which direction they were going.
You're doing really good. Yeah, you're not quite sure, but you're gonna figure it out.
The big thing that really made me happy today is that he's just out running by himself without looking back.
That's not a bad start.
I think Jack's gonna do well in time, but I think it's gonna take a lot of patience.
Come here, Jack.
He's pretty happy with himself, aren't you? Huh? You're pretty happy. You did a good job.
As I get older, the things that weren't challenging are a pain in the ass now. But my personality thrives on the challenge.
Despite the threat of an Arctic storm, Sue takes her search for fresh water deep into the tundra.
The color's looking really good up ahead. It's a lot of green. I can't tell whether it's the snow blowing or the steam rising from water, but I'm betting bottom dollar I see some water up ahead. The color I'm looking for, that green color, I definitely see water, but I have no idea whether it's, you know, soft, fresh overflow or refroze over it. This may seem like a whole lot of effort for a little bit of water, but for me to melt snow for this amount of water, it's 3-4 days of work, you know? So this, if I can get enough liquid water, that'd be cool beans. I really don't know the substructure. I've got some deep sections of the Kavik up this way. But I want to just get at the edge, move a few pieces of the ice, and get to where I can get enough water to start filling these. You know, I've broken through the ice before, and it's dangerous. You don't have a way to get dry. You're going to start losing body parts. So I'm cautious. I live by myself. If I go through the ice, I'm dead. One done, one to go. In the lower world, all you gotta do is, oh, I'm thirsty, flip a tap, and you put your finger under it for 5 minutes till it's the right temperature for whatever you wanna do. I don't have that luxury. This is gold. This is liquid gold to me. It's another resource that I'm able to tap into that normally I wouldn't. I wouldn't be able to get this liquid water without a hell of a lot of effort. Okay, that one's full. Success. Now I just have to get it home. I basically go for 9 months without running water. And I set aside almost 300 gallons. So I'm rationing a gallon a day for all of my needs. Drinking water, washing water, cooking water, everything. Yay, success! And so to be able to go with relatively few problems and get liquid water, now I have more freedom to do more. Yeah, it's a nice luxury. It takes a little work to get it, but anything worth getting takes a little work.
Space is different out here. There's a lot of space. There's no boundary lines out here that I have to worry about. You can walk as far as your legs will carry in any direction.
Okay. So I've got 5 piles now. Now the trick is just to get them back to the sod house.
For Glenn, insulating his sod house is imperative to surviving a worst-case scenario in the bush.
I do have a problem. The string is not strong enough. I think I may have a problem because this is the same kind of string that I used on my head strap, and it's breaking just tying it together. So how am I going to carry it? So my head strap's gonna be here, and these two pieces of string may or may not support the weight of the spruce boughs. Oh, okay. Okay.
Let's see if I can make it to camp. Whoa! Ugh. String broke right here. I should have made the string out of caribou hide. I was in a hurry, used this store-bought stuff. Big mistake. I'm gonna have to braid a few of these together to make a stronger cord next time, but I'm almost back to the sod house. So for now, I'll just tie it back together and keep going. I got the first load of spruce boughs back. I got four more to get. Before I go get them, I'm gonna braid this string with three strands to make it strong enough that it doesn't break next time.
There's a lot of ways that things could go wrong out here. Everybody could be dead. That's the worst thing that you could possibly have happen.
Chip and Agnes's son John has gone missing, failing to arrive from a trip across the tundra.
He probably left at 6 a.m, and now it's noon, so it's time to go find him. Because it should have took him a couple hours, and that gives him 4 hours of fudge. He's not here.
I hear Selwick. I hear Norvik. This distance between here is probably, I'd say, 40 some odd miles. So he's in here somewhere. He's not at Selwick, and he's not at Norvik. So I'm just gonna ride down the trail and see if I can bump into him
and see how well it goes. It's just cold, very cold.
What he's got to do is make sure that he stays out of the wind.
The time to panic is if I go from Norvik to Selwick and he's at neither place. Then we reevaluate what's going on and we get some help.
You're gonna come back before it gets dark, right?
Of course. Still got a few hours of daylight.
It gets a little scary and I get worried once in a while, you know, especially with the conditions of the weather and the wind. But I always try to think, hey man, we teach him how to dress proper and he knows what to do. So he's aware of the dangers that could happen out there. That's what comforts me.
Thank you.
See
ya.
See you later.
I'll be back in a bit.
Yep, good luck.
You know, we're not on a road system here. We don't have AAA. We don't have the police coming down the road. We don't have tow services we can call. When we're doing something like this, first we cover where they're at, we cover where they're expected to be, and then we cover the in-between. And if you start getting all worked up and worried, if you start to panic, then you're not gonna do things right. You're not gonna help anybody. You're just gonna add to the disaster. If we don't see him by the time we get to his home and he's not home, then we talk to some more people about that, more people looking, more eyeballs out there, maybe a plane in the air.
Oh no. That's not good. Dang it.
With temperatures plummeting, Chip has got to repair his snow machine and get back on the trail to find his son and granddaughter.
My machine has been idling quite a bit because it's been deeply cold, and when it's really cold, you have to warm your machines up. But it also fouls the plugs because they're starting at a low temperature, and it just kind of adds to the trouble.
But
I'm hoping to bump into my son. After 4 hours of being late, he's been 6 hours on the trail, and he's got his daughter with him. I don't know. I'll go all the way to Selwick if I have to. He's somewhere.
Common things up here are snow machine crashes. Another thing people do is get lost, or they go through the ice. You're never seen again. People just disappeared.
Somebody's down on the lake down there. I'm kind of hoping that's my son.
I see him.
Maybe.
Oh, thank God.
Overheating, huh? And yeah. Your belt skipping?
Yeah, my belt is skipping from my secondary clutch, and I was overheating.
When I pulled up to John, he had snow packed all around his engine. And in a glance, that just tells me he's overheating. And what you end up doing is driving until your red light comes on and says that you got a high temp, and you stop and you take your plugs out. And that's what he's been doing the whole way here.
Well, I heard that you took off out of Selwick, so I figured after so many hours, I'm just going to go have a look. When I knew Avery was with you, then I really wanted to go have a look. Well, how long till this thing cools down to go?
It's about cool.
About cool?
Yeah.
Are you sure you'll make it yourself?
Yeah, I'll make it.
Okay.
I ran a good hour. I was just cooling off.
How's you, baby girl? You're 4 years old and tired?
Tired, man. It's a little cold.
You want to ride to Norvik with Tata? I got windshield. I should take her, huh?
Yeah.
Come on, baby girl. I'll take you to Norvik with me behind my windshield.
Dad can mow home all he wants.
You're right in front of my son.
Sure.
You ready?
A human is totally dependent on their shelter and the technology that they use to keep themselves alive out here. In the modern world, people are losing their independence rapidly. I got the bows in here, and it looks like a good quantity to get started. I think it's going to cover the floor. The floor is just dirt. It's very cold and hard, so I'm gonna cover it with spruce boughs because it makes a much more comfortable floor covering. It's warmer. I don't want these sharp needles sticking into my feet. I like to walk around barefoot. If I set it like this, the twig sticks up, the sharp needles stick up. If I set it like this, you see how it's much smoother, and the twig where I broke it faces down. There's a lot of stuff to learn, which is why I like living this way. But you know, I learned it. People that were experienced in this way of life taught me that, okay, this is the way you make a spruce bough floor. The first time I did one, a Cree Indian up in northern Quebec showed me how to do it. These spruce boughs are very flammable. If they were to catch on fire, obviously that'd be a very dangerous situation. So I'm gonna put some logs just to hold them back if I'm sleeping in here in the night. I don't wanna push a few spruce boughs over and hit the stove. Yeah, that's pretty good. Cool. Got the place all spruced up. I just need to put down a few caribou hides and a door, and I'll light a fire to test it out. The caribou hides are a very good insulator on top of the spruce boughs. They'll make it more comfortable and warmer. This caribou hide will make a good door. That'll keep the breeze out. Shouldn't have any more problems with snow drifts blowing in over the wood stove. Got some coals out of my other stove. My little bird feather blow pipe here. There, I got flame. It would have been really miserable if I had to come in here and use it as a shelter. And today I got it all fixed up. Look at this. I mean, it's as comfortable as a home.
Even 30 years of living out along the river just goes to show you never know what's gonna happen. You gotta be pretty vigilant all the time.
Training youngest dog Jack to be lead dog, Andy will now put the more experienced Topaz through her paces.
Topaz is a fireball. She's a definite spark plug in the team. She exudes personality.
Hey, Topi.
She's smart.
We noticed this as a puppy that she was one of the most intelligent dogs we've ever had.
So the goal today for me is going to take Topaz out, run her in front of a bigger team, and take her someplace we haven't gone this year and see how she performs in that environment and get her to run over some bad ice or maybe even through a little bit of shallow water on command. If she does that, then I know I really have something for the future.
Pup, let's go.
I think most people see a dog team run down the trail and they think it's like starting a car up and stepping on the gas, and it's nothing like that. There's an incredible amount of nuances to every single member of the team.
Hey girl, Tope, you're doing a good job, girl.
She's definitely got the running down the trail with a tight line. She's got the confidence to be up front. She's quite happy and proud of herself to be up there. But she needs exposure and experience. It's one thing to go on a broken trail made by a snow machine or a former dog trail. It's another thing to go into an environment where there's no trail broken, the dogs are up to their bellies or their chest in snow, and actually push through that and break that trail. That a boy's easy. Whoa, ha, ha, ha. Now I want you to go ha. Good girl. Whoa, 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 whoa. Everybody stay. Everybody stay. Everybody stay. Good boys, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. We're gonna try and cross, okay? You stay right here. Everybody stay. Looks like this is a little dicey right here. This part of the trail, looks like the ice is caving in. Hopefully it'll hold us up. She's not gonna like going over thin ice. They can hear that hollow sound. They can hear this when they come up on it, and she's gonna see this open water. She may not wanna cross here. So the big test right now for Topaz is to see if she can get past her instincts and listen to what I'm asking her to do right here. You ready to get your feet wet? And up, ha ha, ha ha, ha, no ha. Atta girl, good girl, straight ahead. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, come on. No, ha, atta girl, good girl, straight ahead. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, come on. Sometimes you're in situations where you want them to go a certain place or do a certain thing, and they've got to forget about what they think they're supposed to do and actually do what you ask them to do.
Let's go, let's go, let's go, come on, let's go. Atta boy, Burgess, good job, buddy. Good job. Good girl, Tope. All right, good girl. That was really good. All right. That was a good job. Oh, you got a good little lead dog. I'm impressed.
Her first response was to try and take the route around it, but she immediately corrected and went over the old trail over thin ice, and it actually broke out on us a little bit. I looked behind me and saw the ice break out. So that was really good. What really impressed me is she responded quickly. Man, I think she's getting it pretty good right now. I'm really happy with her. She's, as you can see, she's quite proud of herself. Aren't you? You're quite proud of yourself? Yeah.
You did an awful good job, you know, for a little punk. For a little punk, you do pretty good. Up, up. Straight ahead, I'm by.
She's having a lot of fun up here. This is kind of the A-team. And for her to keep the line tight like this and to take commands, it's a really, really positive sign. I think she's going to develop into a really good lead dog. Atta boys. The key element for me is just to keep working with her throughout the rest of this winter. And I think beginning next year, she's going to be a super lead dog.
I don't live in isolation. I have a wife. I have 7 kids. And I have a village of friends and married into relations.
Hi, sunshine.
Hey, big girl, you come to Narvik?
After hours of searching, Chip has rescued John and Avery from the freezing trail. With daylight slipping away, the caribou hunt will have to wait.
Come on.
All better now?
We use every reason to celebrate, you know? And a birthday party is a good time to celebrate. So we make the most of them all.
Keep going, girl. Keep going.
Come on,
Scooby-Doo. Yeah!
When everyone's alive, no one's injured, your machine's still running, it's all good. It's stuff you can deal with. Yep, you gotta just enjoy every day as it comes.
Real good cake?
Agnes, could you do me a favor?
Your favorite, you know.
That's what the girls got.
Yay!
Gotta wash her face.
Come, careful.
No need to wash her face. She's 4 years old with fine.
You got him.
One side. Two sides. Pretty.
I think she's happy for them.
These are a pair of mouton mittens covered with pink cloth. So they're real nice and pretty for little girls. They're nice and warm. On her way here, she dropped her pair of mittens, so her hands got a little bit chilly, so these are to replace the one she lost on the way over. So she should be warm heading back home.
Like anywhere else in this world, there's 1,000 ways to die out here in your own special way. So anytime you can celebrate another birthday is a good thing.
Happy birthday to me.
You don't really get a choice when a problem comes up. You do what you gotta do when you need to do it, and that's just the way life is here, got it? Today I got a storm in, got some of my chores done yesterday, but the storm that came in, southwest winds, blew up this stove, and all I've got is a small stove over there, does not produce enough heat to compensate for when this one's out. This stove here, it's useless to me right now, but it's getting colder. I'm gonna be 20, 40 below. If I don't have enough heat, I'm gonna freeze. So what I wanna do today is go to another building, take a stove out of there that produces more heat, swap it out, then I'd have enough to keep me at a healthy temperature. Ideal conditions, no. I normally I'd hold off, but holding off could cost me my life this time. You know, I cannot, you don't go to sleep at 20 below because you might not wake up. I gotta get on this. The one guarantee you get is that your weather's never guaranteed out here. You know, yesterday I was out getting the water and they could see that there was a pattern changing, you know, and it's just gonna keep getting worse. The storm is supposed to be raging for a few days. All right, this is the stove I'm gonna be trying to change out. Again, these are not optimal conditions for doing this. Come on, you. And it doesn't wanna go willingly. Come on, you puke. Now my job is to get this back to the other building. Again, it's not ideal conditions to do this in. You know, the snow is deep, it's blowing, but nobody else here gonna do it for me. Just coming off the back injury, so I gotta be careful. Damn it! Too painful, too unpredictable for me to carry it the normal way, so I just drug it. It.
With a storm approaching, Sue must install a new stove if she is to keep her home warm enough to survive.
Hurry. That's not wanting to budge, man. I think a lot of people, their method of dealing with this is to call the plumber I don't have the means to call a technician in and get it done. I have to be willing to do my own work no matter the conditions, whether I'm happy or sad, whether it's too heavy, you know, I mean, I don't have a lot of options other than me.
It ain't coming. Okay. Thanks, Susan. There we go. This is gonna leak a little fuel, so I wanna get the other one on real quick. Come on! There goes nothing. Ta-da! Flamage. Not the best conditions for doing the work in, but score one for Susie. I got it done. Makes me feel good. I am taking care of myself.
You are gonna die. There's no question about it. The question is whether or not you're gonna live, and half the people in this world are not living. I could use some light in here, so I'm gonna build a lamp. The fuel for the lamp will be some moose fat. This is some fat from a moose that I rendered. This fat's a year and a half old, so it probably... It's all right. I can still eat it, but it's not as good as fresh moose fat. It has re-solidified because it's cold, but I need to thaw that out and melt it again. This is sphagnum moss, the same type of moss that I used to cover this house for insulation, and the same type of moss that you can use for all sorts of things. Run out of toilet paper comes in handy. It can also be used for a wick, and I'm just kind of compacting that with my hand. I got some moose fat. I'm gonna pour some of this fat onto the lamp. And before it gets solid, I need to get my wick in there. The moss is very absorbent and it's absorbing the fat. Okay, so hopefully I'll have a flame all across here. I'll be able to manipulate it if everything goes right. If everything goes to hell, it'll all burst into flame and I'll have to run out of here fast. Trying to get the flame to spread across the whole thing so I'll have a lot of light. So there's my lamp. The nice thing about this kind of lamp is that the fuel is edible. If you're hungry, you can always take a bite. Pretty nice setup I got here. Got no worries if I have to abandon ship. I got a nice comfortable lifeboat to run into here. Life's pretty good.